Tonight, the Phoenix Suns begin the 2019-20 season with a game against the Sacramento Kings. It'll be the first chance to see whether the organization's latest reset is successful. In the NBA, more than half of the teams make the playoffs, but the Suns' last appearance in the postseason was 2010. But with general manager James Jones and a new head coach in Monty Williams, that has some believing the team's direction is at least a positive one, though almost no unbiased person actually thinks playoffs are in the offing this season. Gina Mizell is the Suns' beat writer for The Athletic and is with me to preview the season. Gina, let's begin with the influence of head coach Monty Williams. How much have you seen when it comes to strategy and tone setting from him?
Yeah, a little bit of both, obviously. And him and James Jones, the general manager, go back to when Monty was an assistant in Portland when James was in his playing career. And so they have a longstanding relationship and just seem to really align themselves as far as philosophy, as far as just set, you know, the cliche of changing the culture and setting the tone, like you said. And that's really, I think, where it's had to start with a lot of new players on this team, a couple of holdovers from previous years. But then on the court, it's been a lot of stuff that they've tried to install, both offensively and defensively, systematically. You know, they want to play fast. They want the ball to keep moving, you know, defensively, just to be in the right spot at all times. But yeah, no, Monty Williams, like you said, he was very sought after in this head coaching carousel, you know, cycle, basically. And the fact that the Suns were able to land him, I think, was a big boon for the organization just based on his status.
Winning is the most important thing, but style, flash, pace.
Sure,
always very,
absolutely.
Suns fans love that. We heard 7 seconds or less 10, 12 years ago, a little bit longer than that. And now, what's this 0.5 thing like?
Yes, the 0.5, which is basically how much time he wants somebody to have before they make a decision with the ball, either shoot it, pass it, drive it in 0.5 seconds. So that sort of just creates a mantra or a philosophy of just constantly moving the ball and you know, not having it where someone's dribbling for 20 seconds on the shot clock and then taking a bad shot. Just that constant ball movement, which you look at teams like, you know, when Golden State was humming at their best, that was what they did. A team like the Denver Nuggets or the Portland Trailblazers, their guys are always moving around and just finding the best shot. And so that's definitely been something that's been preached a ton during training camp, and they hope that they have the right guy to sort of direct that now in Ricky Rubio, their biggest free agent offseason signing. This team has needed a point guard for several years and now finally has a guy who is a veteran, who is a pass-first point guard. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how he can play with, you know, Devin getting the ball to Devin Booker in great spots to shoot the ball or to operate in space, getting the ball to DeAndre Ayton down low, just sort of how all of that works together. But yeah, you'll hear 0.5 a lot.
How much pressure do you think there is on DeAndre Ayton this year?
Yeah.
He's still obviously really young, but criticism of him is that he's so physically gifted,
right?
Doesn't dominate enough. Mm-hmm. And is that coaching? Is that youth? Is that maybe he's not that aggressive? What do you see?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a lot of those things. And you look at DeAndre Ayton's rookie season, and in most years, he put up historic numbers. He would have won Rookie of the Year, but last year's draft class with what Luka Doncic did in Dallas and looks like a tremendous player, and then Trae Young, the way he can score and pass the ball in Atlanta, DeAndre Ayton was kind of the forgotten man, and also just because the Suns were so bad that a lot of people look at his numbers and kind of eye roll at them because they're like, okay, well, you're doing that on one of the worst teams in basketball. So as far as his production or his progress this year, I think developing a little more of an edge inside is definitely something that he's looking to do and needs to do. He's working with an assistant coach in Mark Bryant, who previously was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, developed guys like Steven Adams, who's regarded as maybe the toughest guy in the NBA
For listeners who don't follow the NBA, he looks like Jason Momoa.
He does.
But even bigger.
A big 7-footer from New Zealand who will just take you out if you go in the paint and try to score on him. So, and one thing with DeAndre too is that his personality is very kind of loosey-goosey, and he's a little bit goofy and kind of speaks off the cuff, and again is, you know, only 21 years old. He is so physically gifted that his ceiling is incredibly, incredibly high.
Yeah. So Devin Booker at this point, you mentioned he's only 22 years old. He's truly the face of the franchise at this point. He got a huge contract extension. What do you think it's going to be like for Devin Booker to play with veterans who are really competitive, a real point guard, Is he going to be able to adjust? How tough is that going to be for him?
Yeah, I think just being a more efficient player is going to be his biggest thing. You know, moving forward is trusting that his teammates are maybe at a higher level than they've been in the past, and that he's going to get the ball in correct spots to shoot or to drive or to make plays on his own. And certainly the ball is going to be in his hands in crunch time, you know, down the stretch of close games and things like that. He's one of the most prolific scorers, one of the most gifted offensive players in the NBA, specifically for, you know, a player of his age and experience level. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he meshes with this group.
What have you read? What have you heard from your colleagues? Is there a feeling that the Suns are on the right track, or mm-hmm. is the feeling that, well, they're still a bottom dweller, so who cares?
The Suns are not getting the benefit of the doubt at this point as far as the national narrative, which they've sort of not earned that, but they sort of deserve that in a way as far as the way this organization has been run and the lack of success over the past decade since the Steve Nash era, essentially. When people ask me about, oh, how many games are the Suns going to win, how much improvement, I think you can't even necessarily look at just that number because the West is so deep. And it's going to be tough, and like somebody has to be quote unquote bad in the conference. And so are the Suns still going to be near the bottom? I would say probably yes, more than like I would lean more towards that than them making a playoff push. But I do think you will see an improved product on the floor and just a more entertaining and competent basketball team, which is a good way, I think, to start for this organization.
Gina Mizell, beat writer for the Phoenix Suns for The Athletic. And we hope you have some exciting stuff to cover. Thanks for coming in.
All right. No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, Steve, you're the bigger NBA fan here. How many wins the Suns get this year, do you think?
Well, you know, Vegas, and you and I do a lot of gambling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Vegas has them at 28 wins, which would mean 54 losses.
Oof.
I think maybe more than that.
That's a lot
of losses.
I'm going
to say 33 wins.
Okay.
49
that's,
losses.
That's
still pretty bad.
That's still a lot of losses.
But remember,
losses.
They only won 19 games last
that's
year.
That's true. So, look, things are looking up. That's Steve. I'm Mark. Thanks for listening to this hour of the show.